things are just coming together by design that God has put it together and not myself, because I don't do the X's and O's thing. I just like to get the keys and have the opportunity. And so you talked about the opportunity. I think it's an opportunity for them to be able to gather with individuals who care about them, one, two, with people they can build relationships with and have friends in the community, because I understand that it's real big not being able to have a friend that you're doing something positive with because there's so much negative going on.
Welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Hi, I'm Byron Tyler. So glad to have you here today as we move into a conversation with a friend that I've met recently at church. The more I get around this guy, I just feel the contagious love of Jesus Christ and a bond that he's formed between the two of us. Antoine Clark, welcome to our program, and I'm so glad to have you here today.
Glad to be here, Byron. Ecstatic.
Found out we have something in common. We're both lifelong Memphians.
Yeah. Born and raised. So I'm loving the city as I mature in life, beginning to understand the makeup of it, the scope of it, because I hadn't been in that light of it. Really been interesting. It's been convicting for me, because for years I thought I needed to move out of the city. But here again, as I've matured in God and begin to get integrated in the city more, I begin to see how the city has a lot to offer for any Memphian.
What was it particularly, Antoine, that caused you to think, I need to move out of the city? What were some of the reasons why you were considering a move out?
Felt like there wasn't an opportunity. Felt like it was so closed in and no room to reach higher. A lot of dead-end jobs I found myself in, and just felt like in order for me to really succeed, I needed to be outside of Memphis.
To another city, another state?
Another state, preferably. I thought bigger state, or a state that had the opportunity, like, available for me.
You grew up in South Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this before we went on the microphone. Third generation.
My grandparents stayed in the neighborhood, both my mom and dad parents. Then you have my parents, and then you have me. You know, never really dawned on me a lot until I started really talking about it.
When you think about that and the heritage that you have by being third generation, what does that mean to you?
I guess in the context of when I think of a neighborhood or a community, I think there's a lot of history there. There are a lot of memories that my family have shared in that space. And to have my blood kind of run through that space, and for me to now occupy that same space in different capacities, is really humbling.
When you say South Memphis, is that the 38126 zip code?
38126 as well as 38106.
Okay. 38126, don't know what the latest stats are, has been considered one of the poorest zip codes in the entire United States, not to mention the entire state of Tennessee, of course. So I know there's a lot of poverty in that area.
That it is. And here again, you just enlightened me on some stats for us in the state. I've known in the city, you know, but when you say in the state, it just brings a broader perspective.
Yeah. One time it was one of the poorest in the entire country.
Wow.
When you consider all of the zip codes. But needless to say, you see a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. Like you said, a lot of people with unfulfilled dreams, maybe, or the opportunity to follow a dream.
True.
Would you say
true.
That?
I would definitely say a lot of folks' dreams have been killed because of what's taking place in their family, even if they have a family, you know, because some people are pretty much out here on their own feeling like they're alone. And so for years, I would say for me, especially through my preteen and my teenage years, I just felt so alone. And that kind of grabs me in a different way.
Alone, like helpless alone, like there was nothing you had the strength to be able to rise above, help others to rise above. Kind of describe what you're talking about.
So when I felt alone, we made mention that my parents had separated when I was about 9. So from the age 9, I felt like I was the man of the house. And being the man of the house, that meant I was cooking, I was cleaning. I was pretty much taking care of the house while my mom was working 2-3 jobs at a time. My oldest sister, she ran away right at the time my mom and dad separated. So that made me the oldest immediately. And so as I grew up, I never really felt like I had a childhood. And I was always the responsible one, and I could never do anything that I really wanted to do, never got out. And so as I transitioned from moving out with my mom and just kind of getting out there, when you don't have your mom or your dad, you kind of feel like you don't have nobody in your corner.
Yeah. So you had to learn kind of the hard knock life. Through hard knock, you had to learn what life was really about.
I did. And so later in life, kind of what are you talking about as far as the way a mom and a dad shape your life? I never understood how they shaped my life in a different fashion until I got into my relationship with Christ. And so quite naturally, as I'm growing up, having a background of being in church and having a knowledge or a consciousness of God was good. But then the absence of my parents wasn't good.
Yeah.
And not really knowing how much of an effect that took. And so here we are talking about God, our Father, you know, somebody who's taking care of you. But I grew up with feeling like I didn't have parents. And so somebody talking about God the Father is like, you know.
It's kind of a foreign thing, you
yeah.
know. It's kind of hard to connect with.
Right, right.
I kind of had a similar situation where I came from a single parent home. Parents divorced. We were about the same age we were talking about, around 9 years old. I think maybe I was about eight or so when okay. my parents divorced. But I remember just the crushing feeling of seeing parents separate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew they were fighting and they were arguing and there was always things happening up until they actually split up.
Mm.
But I still had a mom and dad in the house. I don't know. There was something, I guess, a kid feels kind of secure about knowing when both parents are there and wanting things to hold together. And then when you see the split up, it's like your life's being torn in half as a child. You know, I mean, it's really an emotional thing to go through when your parents can't get along, when your parents can't work out their differences.
All right. So here again, that's been a tough road even for me to deal with now. I guess father wounds and past hurts of my parenting experience with my parents and how I was brought up. It's just some things that are constantly rising up now, you know, that it's affecting, you know, my life. It's both good and bad.
So really you had a relationship in church, doing the Sunday thing, maybe going to service, Sunday school, hearing about Jesus, but it really wasn't doing anything to change you personally. Did you have a relationship? Did you understand what a personal relationship with Christ was at that time?
I did not. I didn't understand a personal relationship with Christ until I was about 20. A real good understanding. As a matter of fact, I got introduced to Christ when I was about 13. And so at the age of 13, me and my uncle, we were walking across the park. And a guy came up to us and asked us, did we want to invite Jesus into our heart? And so at this time, I've had a context of church and understanding through my grandmama, you never reject Jesus. And so we said, yes, I invite him to my heart then. Of course, my life, you know, from there, I went home, read the first chapter of Genesis, and that was it. literally, that was it. After that time has passed. And about the age 16, I think I was walking through that same park. Actually, it was in East Memphis over by Clearbrook and Cottonwood.
Yeah.
And so McFarland Park, I'll never forget it. I was walking across that park and I said, God, I don't understand about you and your saints right now. But when I get of age and understand it, then I'll live for you. So he brought that to my remembrance at age 20. And so from there, I've gone full-fledged and hadn't turned back.
What have you discovered as your relationship with God, as you journey with him, as you walk with him each day, as you discover that he is the good father, like you haven't had, wasn't there for you?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you're learning? I mean, I know it's a process.
So much. So that's a broad question for me because it takes me to really look over my complete life. And so I'm learning how to deal with my total life from childhood up to the present moment and how I handle relationships, how I'm having relationships with my parents, with my kin people, you know, my long off friends. And so just it relationship wise, my attitude, just the way I handle money and the way I handle my marriage, the way I handle my own kids, the way I do business, the way I just make friendships. And so it's just my total context of life. God has really helped me to understand the full scope of that.
You're a dad now. You got how many kids?
4 kids. Age 9 on up to 20. 2 boys, 2 girls. 9-year-old act like the oldest. And yeah, the oldest son is 20. And then I have 2 girls in the middle, 1 19, 1 18.
Tell me about your wife.
Mm-hmm. Wife is a beautiful lady. She has really blessed my life because without her, I feel like I leave my head everywhere.
I know this feeling.
Yeah, but she really made my life complete because God put something special in a woman. And what he put in her was the nurturing aspect that I never felt, that love aspect that I never felt. And I wasn't even able to give it to her or my kids. And so not being able to give that to her and my kids, and I know what that looked like, it's kind of, you know, just like no words can really explain that.
I have a similar situation, having had that kind of upbringing.
Okay.
And I have 3 sons, and how my wife came from a different type background.
Right. Right.
But the opposites do attract, and it's interesting, you know.
Yeah.
How that works. What's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Rosetta. First name, Maria, is Maria. What she loved to be called, but I call her Rose.
Call her Rose.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's a Rose to you.
Yeah, she is definitely a Rose to me.
Now, I know something about you, Antoine, that our listeners don't know right now, is that you have an amazing voice. You lead in worship at our church. You're part of the worship team. Have you always been able to sing like that? I mean, you just have, you can tell you that when you sing, it's all of you. You're putting it all out there.
I've been able to sing as long as I recognized it because I used to use it in school for the wrong reasons, of course. I felt like that I had a voice that could captivate a lady's mind.
Yeah.
And so I kind of used that to my advantage at some point, you know.
So that was kind of your pickup line.
It was. It was definitely that. I had the one song that I used to use every time. Because so. I felt like my voice grabbed the attention of that.
Tell me about the process of how your attitude toward music or your priority and how you have shifted as a worship toward God and helping lead other people to worship God through your songs.
So interestingly, the 2 songs I have on my mind from youth choir are 2 songs that really drove me through life. One was Joy to the World, The Lord Has Come. And the other one was Silent Night. Those 2 songs carried me through my years of being absent from the presence of God, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If I had no other songs on my heart while I'm going through life, those 2 songs were there. For whatever reason, I don't know. But they were there and they stuck with me. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, because I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I mean, I can't sing. You know, you make a joyful noise, right?
Uh-huh,
and it's all
right.
Toward worshiping the Lord. And I do that. And I would desire to do that. But you don't want me on stage singing. But when you're singing, not performing, but when you're leading others to the altar of worship before the magnificent and holy God who's in charge of it all, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you look out and you look at faces and you're singing, tell me some of the things that are going through your mind.
The number one thing that always goes through my mind is that I want to do this right before the people of God, because I'm keeping in mind that I'm representing our Father. And so I see every moment I'm up before people as an opportunity for God to bless the people through me. That really takes people out of it because I'm actually leading myself to the throne. And I just kind of take along whoever with me.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad to go along for the ride. Southside Wildcats is dear to your heart. This is a an organization that you've created. You told us a moment ago that at one time you thought about, I want to leave a city. You know, you felt like you had no power to change. The opportunities weren't there. But now here you are back in the same neighborhood that you grew up
same
in.
Same neighborhood.
And you've got this organization called Southside Wildcats. Tell me about it.
So this is a youth organization composed of football players and cheerleaders. And so this is something I got exposed to as I was transitioning ministries. In 2006, I got introduced to a ministry called CrossCheck. CrossCheck is partnered with Grace Evangelical Church, and now it's called Grace Athletics. So I got introduced in helping with the youth in football. Of course, I've always had a love for sports, but I had an even greater love for youth. It was an easy partnership that I could begin to interact with the youth in a context of church. So CrossCheck exposed me to how to expose the young people to the gospel. And as I got exposed to that, it was like a light bulb hit. It's like, if sports is an avenue for kids to be a part of, then partnering with the gospel, that's just a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, and so as I did a program called the CBC Vikings in CrossCheck, about 2010, I transitioned from there and went with another church, and they seen what I did with that program and wanted me to start a program. And so I started this program, Southside Wildcats, with a ministry, and it didn't work out. And so it didn't work out because the ministry didn't see a need for the football thing. And so when that kind of happened, it kind of pushed me into, I don't know what to do with these kids because I can't just tell them we're not going to have football anymore. And so it pushed me into, you know, just doing it on my own.
That kind of goes back to those opportunities that might not be there.
Mm-hmm.
In South Memphis, you know?
Right.
And kids need an outlet. Kids need an opportunity to use some of that energy for one thing.
Right.
But
right.
to be focused, you know, to learn how to work together as a team. I mean, talk about the opportunities that it's not about just football. It's a whole lot more
right.
than that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Definitely. I'm glad you said that because it's not about football at all with me. It's never been about football. It's always been about having the youth something to do. And after it was something for the youth to do, it became about exposing the youth to Christ. And God began to show and reveal to me how just a small football team could really rally a whole community. And you can affect different lives, touch different lives just through this.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of seeing that happen because I originally started the program out in East Memphis. Here again, my transitions of church and life, it threw me into South Memphis. Let me say that. and here, not by design that I'm back in the neighborhood in which I grew up in. I used to walk that same park. I used to walk the track, and I used to pray about an hour in that same park. And here again, these are things that God has brought back to my remembrance as we kind of go from day to day.
Yeah.
And so things are just coming together by design that God has put it together and not myself, because I don't do the X's and O's thing. I just like to get the keys and have the opportunity. And so you talked about the opportunity. I think it's an opportunity for them to be able to gather with individuals who care about them, one, two, with people they can build relationships with and have friends in the community, because I understand that it's real big not being able to have a friend that you're doing something positive with because there's so much negative going on.
I guess some of the homes that these young guys, I guess girls too, because you mentioned cheerleaders, are they still involved also?
The cheerleaders are involved, heavily involved. And you know, we can't have a good group of guys without a good group of women.
That's right. And you know, the positive thing here, Antoine, is helping these young people learn how to interact with each other, you know, in a positive way. I think it's wonderful. So what's happening now? I mean, where are you at? How are you funding this organization? Tell me all those details.
So God has been gracious. CrossCheck has been sponsoring us from the time I've been in the league. They've been real instrumental. making sure that the program continued to run, even without funds. And so they supply all the uniforms, all the equipment, and they're just saying, hey, just you're doing the work with kids. Keep doing the work. Keep bringing them. Because what we do, we travel out from South Memphis into the Collierville, Germantown area. It's allowing the kids to interact with diversity as well. That's a real big piece for me. You got the gospel and you got diversity.
Yeah, I think that's another key thing. I want to stop there for a second because I have spent some time doing some ministry in inner city, and particularly Claiborne Foot area, 3126 neighborhood. And I met people who never had been out of their neighborhood. I mean, never been over a couple blocks.
Man.
So how hard is it to have vision and dreams when you keep seeing the same surroundings?
I've had kids, the time we leave out of the neighborhood and we cross over, X Cross and out in Collierville, Germantown, and how they feel like they're out of town.
Yeah. Somebody had never seen a Chick-fil-A before.
Yeah.
Not that there's more important things in life than seeing Chick-fil-A's. Don't get me wrong, you know, but
Chick-fil-A is awesome. Yeah. I love Chick-fil-A. I had it before I came, actually. So. Yeah. And so just to be able to take them out of the neighborhood. This has always been a plus for me to be able to take a group of kids who would probably never get outside of the 38126, 38106 zip code, and to see them be able to play on turf fields, to play under the lights and get an exposure to high school type of football, you know, in elementary. And so it's been huge to see that take place.
I mean, that is huge.
Yeah.
You think of a young boy. How old are these kids?
And so we deal with the ages 5 to 13.
Yeah.
It's been phenomenal, man.
So is this a solo act for you? Do you have other people helping along with you?
I have other people helping me alongside. I have two guys that I really got to give a shout out to who's really been gracious and through my transition of job-wise and not having the time to even do it. Because I told you, it's not about the X's and O's. And so it's just about having a program that kids are able to, you know, come and find a place of escape with. And so you have Mario Carver and Marcus Freeman. These are two guys who kind of took ownership of the program and was able to keep it going even while I was, you know, at work or if I was going to school and I just couldn't be there. They made sure everything kept running.
So are you working a full-time job and also trying to make sure the Southside Wildcats organization is running?
Yes, I am. And that's been the hardest thing is because you don't have the time to really put into it. And so God putting the pieces together, it assures me over and over again that it's something he's put together.
Yeah.
And just really depending totally on him.
So I guess, too, Antoine, this opens up opportunities not only to meet these young boys and the girls on the field and at the games and at practice and other outlets you might have, but I'm sure that you meet their parents and you get to see some of the needs of their families.
True. I get to see the needs of the families. And what's heartbreaking is that the absence of the parents in some of these youth lives. And so the absence of these parents, it reminds me of my own story. And so it reminds me of my story in that sense that I felt like I was a very talented young kid. I could run. I had the body size. I had the IQ, but I never had anybody to push me. I never had anybody to put me in a program that I could be a part of to even show what I was capable of doing. And so when I see these young guys who are coming into the park, and young ladies coming into the park, they're walking by themselves. A lot of times I don't get to meet the parents. I talk to them on the phone, you know, to get introduced to them and their child to be a part. You know, I can invite them to come, but oftentimes they can't make it because they're working or whatnot. And so just being able to be that presence in their life, yep, to say, you know, you're a great kid. You have great potential. You can go very far if you got the right attitude. It's just speaking positive to their life. It's been a joy.
It's so rewarding. It must be. Got to be.
Definitely. It's so rewarding to see how some kids' lives has transformed. And so over the course of years, we've been able to see young kids give their life to Christ, get baptized. But my own son got baptized. And so it was just humbling to me because he's been a part of the Southside Wildcats program where we're able to share the gospel continuously over and over again. And to see him say he wanted to accept Christ with knowledge at the age of 7, it was like, wow.
Oh my. Yeah. As a parent, that is just incredible, unexpressible joy, you know, to see your kid respond like that. Oh my goodness. Well, as time is slipping away on this program, we're going to have to start wrapping it up. It's been fantastic. And we're going to have to get back together, talk more about Southside Wildcats and the organization and things that are happening. But as we say goodbye, if folks want to learn more, is there a website? Is there a Facebook page? Is there a way that we can learn more about this organization?
There's a Facebook page, Southside Wildcats Organization. You know, we have some pictures of some things that, you know, we've kind of did and video we've kind of did over the years. Keep on lookout, southsidewildcats.com. You know, here again, we're trying to establish all these things here to become a bigger presence, to be more effective and efficient in the community.
Antoine, if somebody wanted you to come speak, maybe to a civic organization, a church group, or just come share your heart and maybe want to find ways they possibly could partner and connect with you, a business owner or somebody, is there a way they could contact you personally?
Yeah, so my telephone number.
Yeah. 901-502-8454.
Correct.
Okay. Antoine Clark, my dear brother, God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom. Thank you for sharing with Bond Radio today.
Thank you for having me, sir.
You said something, too, before we say goodbye, that your grandfather turned you on to Bot Radio Network. He listened faithfully, even would go to bed at nighttime to our radio station.
So didn't matter what time of day I went over to my grandfather's house, what time of day I went into his room, what time of day he woke up, his radio station stayed on 640. It never went off. Literally, it never went off. After hearing a couple individuals teach on the station, I started listening to that myself. Family Matters and, you know, a lot of the great, renowned preachers, you know, just teaching. So it's been wholesome to me.
Hey, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, friends, that's all the time we have on today's Mid-South Viewpoint. Our guest today, again, is Antoine Clark. He is doing a great work with these young folks for Southside Wildcats. Keep them in your prayers. We'll learn more in the future about this work. Go to the Facebook page, Southside Wildcats, and learn more. See some of the photographs. We're going to say goodbye now. I'm Byron Tyler. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.